As a way of thinking about the Lord, our righteousness, I want you to make this declaration. Jesus is all my righteousness, and I stand complete in him. Jesus is all my righteousness. I stand complete in him. Let's try it one more time. Jesus is all my righteousness. I stand complete in him. Amen. Praise God. So as we have talked about before, that with regard to salvation, that God offers us many times far more in salvation than you and I actually apprehend, that we take hold of. And it is our hope and our desire that you and I will continue to grow in him, so that we continue to appropriate by faith the benefits that have accrued to us, the benefits that belong to us because we are his children. That we will no longer be pushed back and forth, tossed back and forth by the wind and the waves of the events of this world, but we would be anchored in the Lord, that we would be stable in the Lord, no matter what rises up in our circumstance, no matter what rises up in our condition, that we will be so assured of God's commitment to his covenant with us that it doesn't matter what's going on. We know that if he has us in his hand, and he does, that he will hold us in the midst of every storm, because storms will come. But thanks be to God, he is still the one who is able to speak to the wind, who is able to speak to the storm and say, peace, be still. And you and I need to be anchored, and I'm convinced of it even more and more as we see the evil days approaching, as we see things that are going on in our times, that you and I need to be anchored in him, because I want to tell you, it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. And the more you and I stand up for righteousness, the more you and I identify ourselves with the name of Jesus Christ, it's like we're putting a bullseye on our chest. And the enemy is coming after us with everything that he has, because he wants to stop the move of God. He wants to stop the plan of God, specifically in your life. And you and I have got to be anchored, so that no matter what comes our way, we are able to stand firm in the midst of trouble. So that means that we've got to understand the benefits that we have in being children of the Most High God and connected to him by the person of Jesus Christ. A few years ago, a member of my family experienced an automobile accident. And it caused severe damage to the vehicle. However, I did not want to call the insurance company to report the accident, because I don't know about you, but insurance companies have a way of raising your rates when you make a claim on something that you've been paying for. Amen. They have a way of, if they don't raise your rates, they start to say that you are no longer a viable risk. And we simply do not want to cover you any longer. And so because I didn't want to see an increase in my rates, and because I didn't want to take that chance, I didn't want to report the accident or make a claim against that policy and risk either being removed or increased rates. So I was going to take the hit, make the repairs, and pay for the costs out of pocket. Yeah. Go on and say, Pastor, you crazy. And so I had the car, the vehicle, towed to a place that had done some work for me before, and to get an assessment of what it was going to take to have the vehicle repaired. The guy called me back and he says, "You ready for this?" "No, I am not ready for this." And he gives me this astronomical price for the repair, and it forces me then to say, "Well, I can't go there." And it forces me to call my insurance company and make my claim. When I get on the phone with the insurance company and make my claim, and they start to tell me, "Oh, don't worry, you have the platinum policy." "What?" "Yes, in your benefit, there is a clause that says you get accident forgiveness. That means that for this accident that you've had, we're going to look the other way as though it didn't happen. And so we're going to take care of everything. That means the rental car that you need to get. That means that now that the vehicle has been totaled, we're going to take care of that. And if there are any other losses experienced along the way, we'll take care of those as well." And I thought, silly me. Here I am with a policy that is covering everything that I need, but I'm not fully aware of all the benefits that's available to me. And because I wasn't fully aware of all the benefits that were available to me, I was about to pay for something that I had already been paid for. I was about to allow stubbornness, pride, and dare I say ignorance to rob me of resources that could have gone somewhere else. Oh, and brothers and sisters, I want to tell you that that's just a picture of what it looks like for the man or woman who is in Christ Jesus and who does not fully understand all the benefits that have been accrued to you and me, who does not fully understand that when Jesus hung on a cross, when he took the sins of all of mankind upon him, that when you place your hope in your faith in his finished work, that you have a policy full of benefits that sometimes you and I fail to take advantage of. And I want to tell you that you and I need to learn how to read the fine print so that when stuff comes and when things happen, we can go to the one who is the holder of the policy and make our claim against whatever it is that is going on against us so that he can say to you and me, "Don't worry, it's already covered." Amen. It's already covered. See, when we talk about Jesus as all my righteousness and that I stand complete in him, what we are declaring is that anything that would come our way is already covered by the finished work of Jesus. It does not say that things are not going to come our way. It simply says that anything that comes our way is covered by the finished work of Jesus. He is all my righteousness. All my righteousness. Righteousness is important because God is righteous. God is a holy God, and God is a just God. God does not allow darkness, sin, or evil to dwell in his presence. And in order for you to be rightly connected with him, you must be righteous. Here is the unfortunate part for you and me, is that there is nothing that we can do to earn our righteousness. We cannot keep every rule. We cannot keep every regulation. We cannot do everything right and be in righteous standing with God because we are by nature sinful people. And what that means is that what I might do right in the AM of the day, I might mess up in the PM of the day. What I might do right in the first hour, I might get wrong in the second hour. And so I need someone who can cover my righteousness so that I do not waver back and forth. So I am not in and out of righteousness, so that I am not in and out of my relationship with God, so that it is anchored and secure, not based upon what I do, but based upon who I stand in. And that is the person of Jesus Christ. When you declare that Jesus is your righteousness, what you're saying is that I am in right standing with God. I'm in a right relationship with God, not because of the righteous things that I have done, but because of his great sacrifice. And so it is no longer dependent upon me. I'm leaning fully and completely into his righteousness. And if I'm leaning into the righteousness of Jesus Christ, that means that then I can make claims because I'm in a covenant relationship with God. I hope you're grabbing these words, righteousness and then covenant relationship. Because as I talked about that policy, I had an agreement with that insurance company, and I was in right standing because my policy was paid up. You are in a covenant relationship with God because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. A covenant relationship is a divinely established relationship. Means it's established by God that puts you and me in right standing with God. It means that there are responsibilities, obligations, and privileges that come out of that covenant relationship. But it is this: God promises to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. And he says that because he is righteous, that he will honor his end of the covenant agreement. And so righteousness really talks about God's perfect faithfulness to all his covenant commitments. When you begin to think about righteousness and God, it describes his perfect faithfulness. The one thing you can say about God is this: he is faithful. All your life, God has been faithful. There has never been a moment that you can name that God has not been faithful to who he has declared himself to be. And there will never be a time in your life where you can declare that God has not been faithful, because his name is faithful. It is a part of his nature to be faithful. And because God cannot deny himself, because he is not duplicitous, he does not have a split personality, he is not one way today and another way tomorrow. He is consistent in who he is, the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. What you will discover is that God will always be faithful. Part of his righteousness sums up the fact that he is perfect in all that he does. In Isaiah chapter 9, it is a familiar passage of scripture that we often go to, particularly during the Advent season, when we are preparing to celebrate the coming of Jesus Christ. In Isaiah chapter 9, verses particularly 2 through 7, we get this truth about the coming Messiah. It says, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. A light has dawned on those living in the land of darkness. And you have enlarged the nation and increased its joy. And the people have rejoiced before you as they rejoice at harvest time, and as they rejoice when dividing spoils. For you have shattered their oppressive yoke
and the rod on their shoulders, the staff of their oppressor, just as you did on the day of Midian. For every trampling boot of battle and the bloodied garments of war will be burned as fuel for the fire. Now, this is the part you're most familiar with, beginning at verse 6, for it says, for a child will be born for us, a son will be given to us, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal or Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The dominion will be vast, and its prosperity will never end. Listen, he will reign on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and sustain it with justice and righteousness from now on and forever. The zeal of the Lord of armies will accomplish this. In Jeremiah 23, you remember where we started? Where it said that God will raise up a righteous branch to David, and his name will be called the Lord is our righteousness. In Isaiah chapter 9, God is pointing to that day when that one that he will raise up will come. And he talks about how he will reign with justice and righteousness. Brothers and sisters, his name is Jesus. And I want you to know that Jesus is your righteousness and my righteousness. In Isaiah chapter 11, because God is raising up for the throne of David, by which he said the Messiah will come. He is raising up one who will be righteous. His name is Jesus. In Isaiah chapter 11, beginning with verse number 1, it says, then a shoot will grow from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, a spirit of wisdom and understanding, a spirit of counsel and strength, a spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight will be in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes. He will not execute justice by what he hears with his ears. But he will judge the poor righteously and execute justice for the oppressed of the land. He will strike the land with a scepter from his mouth, and he will kill the wicked with a command from his lips. Look at verse 5. Righteousness will be a belt around his hips, and faithfulness will be a belt around his waist. So he's going to be clothed, if you will, with righteousness. He is going to be operating in righteousness. Why? Because God is a God of righteousness, and the one that he sends is also going to be our righteousness. Jesus Christ is our righteousness. Let me take you to one more place in Isaiah chapter 42. It speaks of this servant that God will be sending. And it's talking about Jesus Christ. Beginning with verse 1 in Isaiah 42. He says, this is my servant. I strengthen him. And this is my chosen one. I delight in him. And I have put my spirit on him. This is God talking about the servant who is to come, which is Jesus. He will bring justice to the nations. He will not cry out or shout or make his voice heard in the streets. He will not break a bruised reed, and he will not put out a smoldering wick. He will faithfully bring justice. He will not grow weak or be discouraged until he has established justice on earth. The coast and islands will wait for his instructions. Don't get tired. Keep reading. Verse number 5. This is what God the Lord says, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk on it. I am the Lord, and I have called you for a righteous purpose, and I will hold you by your hand. I will watch over you, and I will appoint you to be a covenant. There it is, a covenant for the people and a light to the nations, in order to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the dungeon and those sitting in darkness from the prison house. I am the Lord. That is my name. And I will not give my glory to another or my praise to idols. The past events have indeed happened. And now I declare new events. I announce them to you before they occur. That is God talking about the coming Messiah, the one who will redeem us, who will establish us in his kingdom, so that we then can experience the benefits that he shall bring. In order for you to receive from the kingdom of God, you've got to be a righteous person. In order for you to be a righteous person, you've got to accept the righteous gift that God has sent. The righteous gift that God has sent is Jesus Christ. In Jesus, there is no darkness. In Jesus, there is no failure nor incompleteness. Instead, in Jesus, he is the fullness of everything that God has promised. In fact, Jesus is the yes and the amen to everything God has declared. If you are righteous in Jesus, that means that you have benefits accrued from the kingdom of God, because his is a kingdom of righteousness. He says, his is not a kingdom that is about food and drink, that so many folks are worried about what they're going to eat and what they're going to wear. He says, now you caught up in all the wrong stuff. He says, but mine is a kingdom of righteousness, peace, and joy, and the Holy Ghost. He says, get the order, righteousness, because when you are in righteousness, when you are righteous, he says that you then have an accrued account for yourself that you can then pull from the benefits of the kingdom, because the one whose name you go in has made a deposit that will never, ever run dry. Ooh, that's good to me, y'all. That's good to me. Listen, it does not matter how many times I have to go and make a withdrawal. I never have to worry about that little sign that... I'm sorry. Some of you have never been in those situations where you've gone to the ATM to make a withdrawal, and the amount that you wanted to withdraw was not in your account. And so the little ticket that comes out, the little receipt that comes out, says to you, insufficient funds. That's another way of saying what you asked for, you can't get because it ain't in your account. Try again. You never have to worry about going to God in the name of Jesus when you are a righteous person to make a withdrawal from your account. Because in Jesus, you stand complete. In Jesus, you have everything that you need. In Jesus, you always will have sufficiency, because he says that his grace is sufficient for everything that you need.
Therefore, you and I can always be assured that as long as we are resting in Jesus and not in ourselves, there's going to be enough. That as long as we understand that it is not the number of times that I go to church during the course of the year or during the course of the week. It is not the number of times that I read my Bible. It is not the number of times that I pray. It is not the number of times that I do good works for somebody else. It is not those things that put me in good standing, in right standing with God. No, those things are good. I'm not discounting them. I'm doing them because I am in right standing, but I understand that it is not those things that get me my right standing. My right standing comes because I have put my full confidence in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And in him alone, I can rest confident that he will supply all that I need. All that I need. Come on, everything that I need. Wait a minute, not based upon my perfection, but based upon his perfection. And if it's based upon his perfection, I never have to worry about him dropping the ball. And if I've dropped a ball, and if I'm worried about whether or not I'm in the right relationship with him, he makes it so easy. For he says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, come to me, seek me, find me. He says, come to me, and I will forgive you. And what does he say? I'll forgive you quickly. He does not require that you and I jump through any hoops. All he says is that you need to come with a sincere heart. For it is a broken and contrite heart that he recognizes. He says that if you come with a sincere heart, I don't care what you did, where you've been, as long as you come with a sincere heart before me, understanding that I am your Redeemer, he says, I'll extend to you the scepter. I'll extend to you the hand of forgiveness, and I will restore you in right relationship. And right there, while you're there, right there. Now, what do you need? What do you need? Just that quick. I don't have to jump through any hoops. I don't have to delay my request because I'm saying in my mind, well, when I do this, God has to. No! If I come with a broken and contrite heart before God, he will see me right where I am and respond to my need. If you don't believe me, ask that thief who was on the cross. For you know, when Jesus was crucified, they hung a thief on his right and one on his left. And there was one who was arrogant and pompous and who said, if you really are who you say you are, why don't you save us? We know where he is. We do. Listen, y'all, we know that God does not honor pride nor arrogance, and anyone who operates in pride or arrogance and does not acknowledge who Jesus Christ is cannot enter the kingdom of heaven, cannot see the kingdom of heaven. That's truth. So we know where he is. In the same way, we know where the other thief is. Why? Because he said to the one thief who was talking like a fool, be quiet. You and I deserve, this is what he said, you and I deserve what we're getting because we are guilty. And then he looked over at Jesus and he said, in essence, forgive me. I'm sorry. I acknowledge that you are who you've declared that you are. And Jesus, when he's hearing this man talk, I love this because when you're in control, you can do this. Jesus demonstrates his power and his authority on the cross. He hits pause on death. He says, hold up. wait a minute, I got some business to handle. And so he puts death on hold. And he says, I'll get back to you in a minute. But before I get, let me deal with this man. And he says to him, today, you shall, not you might, you shall be with me in paradise because of your acknowledgement of who I am, because of your humility to bow down and accept this gift that I offer, because you have confessed with your mouth that I am who I said I am, and because you believe in your heart that I can do something that nobody else can do, today you will be with me in paradise. And after he had made that declaration, he returned to the work at hand and continued to die. But here's the good news. That thief that was hanging on the cross didn't have to come down, and he didn't have to do anything. He didn't have to jump through any hoops. He didn't have to do any works, because at that moment, Jesus became all his righteousness. And at that moment, he had everything that he needed to stand complete before God. Brothers and sisters, if he would do that for a thief hanging on the cross. Isn't that good? Isn't that good what he'll do for you and for me? He is all our righteousness, and we stand complete in him. God says his is a kingdom of righteousness. And for those who live, who work, who operate in righteousness, first in Jesus Christ, and then allowing that to be reflected in your life, he says that for you, you are able then to receive the benefits of the kingdom. In Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, this is a song that if you were on our Bible talk line a couple of weeks ago, Chaplain Brown sang this song as a part of our devotional worship. She said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power, salvation to those who believe. For in it, there is a righteousness in the gospel. There is a righteousness that comes by faith in Jesus Christ. That when you put your hope in Jesus Christ, what you receive in exchange is Jesus' righteousness being imputed to your account. That means that there is a deposit made whereby now you are righteous before God. Not based upon you, but based upon Jesus. It is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, where it says, and God made him who had no sin to become sin so that you and I, he became sin for us so that you and I could become the righteousness of God. It was an exchange. He took our sin and gave us his righteousness. I'm sorry. I get excited when he took our sin, gave us his righteousness. So he says, now you have righteousness because Jesus has placed himself in you. And we see that being lived out through the power of the Holy Spirit. For the Holy Spirit lives in us that we might bear fruit. The fruits of righteousness. And as you and I bear the fruits of righteousness, as we live righteous lives, we avail ourselves of the privileges that come to kingdom people. We are not of this world. We are kingdom citizens. Therefore, he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and what? His righteousness. And then he says, all these other things will be added to you. And so that's the end of that particular passage, because at the beginning he said, why do you worry? You're worried about things as though you worrying is going to bring about a change or is going to get you the thing that you are worried about. He said, why are you worried? Just think about the birds of the air. Do they worry about what they're going to eat? No, because they understand that I've made provision for them. And if they just get up early enough and go to where I've put some worms, they'll be fed. Just think about the lilies. He said, they don't toil and they don't work. He said, but look at how I clothe them and how I adorn them. He said that not even Solomon in all of his splendor is arrayed like the lilies of the field. He says, you are worried about things that you don't need to be worried about because you have access to the kingdom. And in the kingdom, I have provided you with everything that you need for life and for godliness. He says that I've given you all that you need. Yes, you got to work. Yes, you got to get up. Yes, you got to put some effort into it. He says, but I provided you with all that you need. And if you go to where I show you to go, I'm going to open up doors for you that no man can close. If you do what you are required to do, God's righteous faithfulness says that he's going to fulfill his end of the covenant. And so he says, don't worry, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and all its righteousness. He said, and you will have everything that you need. In his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said this, those who thirst and hunger after righteousness will be filled. In other words, he says that if you are hungering and thirsting after Jesus, don't worry. He's not going to let you go dry. He'll actually fill you up. And if you are full, he says, what you can be assured of is that you have all that you need. This is a good word for you and me because many of us right now, we need help staying stable in our emotions. Amen? Amen. Because sometimes stuff comes our way and it causes us to go from one extreme to the other. But if you are in Jesus, what Jesus offers us is stability in our emotions. That's why he says in Isaiah 26, for the person who keeps his or her mind stayed on God, that individual will be in perfect peace. Why? Because in him we have all that we need. This is good news because some of us need help with some mental stability. Amen? It is not just emotions that are challenged, but let's be honest. Nowadays, it's also mental health that has become the highlight of many conversations. But here's the good news. He is the regulator of your mind. And if you stay connected with him who has all wisdom, he will give you everything that you need. That it does not matter what's going on. He says, ask and you shall receive. That when you need to make decisions about big things or decisions about little things, he says, all you need to do is ask him and he will give you stability in your mind because he is a mind regulator. And that's what you and I need. We need mental stability. We don't need to make decisions or judgments about ourselves, about what other people said. We need to understand what God has said about us and to stake our claim on what God has said. Because don't you know that people are fickle? Don't you know that people will love you today and hate you tomorrow? Amen. They'll make a commitment today and they'll forget about that commitment tomorrow. That's right. They'll break it. And if you are trying to base your stability upon what other folk are doing, you're going to be in trouble. You got a boss who will tell you how good you've been working today. And then tomorrow, well, you know how it works, right? And then what makes matters worse is we get on social media and we start judging where we are in life by all of the good things other folks are posting about their lives, not realizing that they've stole that post from somebody else. Because you know folk gonna tell the truth on social media. But yet we will make judgments about where we are based upon where somebody else is. Get out of that lane and get back in your lane. And if you walk according to the steps that God has ordained for your life, what he will do is give you stability in your life to move forward in what he has called you to do. Because he has a work for you. He saved you with the purpose of you glorifying his name. He called you out of darkness so that you would be an example of his wonderful grace. He redeemed you so that you could be used for his kingdom. And if you stay in your lane, he will take that which is little and make it great. He will take that which is unknown and explode it across the world, because he will not share his glory with another. But as long as you are allowing yourself to be used, he will let you be used to bring glory and honor to his name. And when you walk in him with absolute confidence and allow yourself to be availed of his righteousness, he says that he will keep you and give you open access to the benefits of the kingdom, all because you are righteous. Write these down real quick, and then I got to go. Or, for those of you that have great memories, seal it in your mind. Seal it in your mind. Something that you need to know about righteous people. God protects righteous people. So one of the benefits you get is his protection. You can find this in Psalm 5, verse number 12. Also look at Psalm 34, verse number 15. God protects the righteous. God also supports the righteous. Means he holds you up. He's got you. Look at Psalm 37, verse number 17. I know you're going to like this one. God blesses the righteous. He blesses the righteous. Since you're in Psalm 37, you may as well stay there and slip down to verses 26 and 29, because it talks about his blessings upon them. And this is the one that you're going to really love, is that God's favor is upon the righteous. God's favor is upon the righteous. See that in two places, Deuteronomy 6 and 25, and you also see it in Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11. So there is benefit, kingdom benefit, to you being a righteous person. But I don't want you to get so caught up on what you do. I want you to get caught up on who you believe in and who you trust in. Because Jesus is your righteousness. And you stand complete in him. And because he is your righteousness, then because of him, everything then is made available to you. And for the person who is righteous, who fears God and who honors God and who loves God, God has good news for you and me. In Malachi chapter 4. I want you to turn to this one, Malachi chapter 4. Verse number 2. It's a word that God has for his people, those who revere him, those who fear his name. And let me start at verse 1. It says, "For look, the day is coming, burning like a furnace, when all the arrogant and everyone who commits wickedness will become stubble. The coming day will consume them, says the Lord of armies, not leaving them root or branches." He says, "But for you who fear my name, the sun of righteousness will rise with healing in his wings. And you will go out and playfully jump like calves from the stall."
You will trample the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day I am preparing, says the Lord of armies. And so, Jesus is my righteousness. I stand complete in him because he exchanged for me. He took my sin, gave me his righteousness. So I stand complete in him before God because he is my righteousness. And because I fear God, I honor God, I revere God. I fear God. I faithfully exhibit allegiance to God and reverence for God. I fear him. I honor him in that the life that he bought belongs to him. So I present myself as holy and acceptable, a living sacrifice unto the Lord, whereby I say to him, use me because I belong to you. I honor him with my life, not using the instruments of my body as tools of wickedness, but instead using them as instruments of righteousness that are to bring glory and honor to him. I fear him, I honor him, and I revere him. I bow down and I acknowledge that he is the sovereign God. He is the judge of all the earth, that it begins with God and it ends with God. He is the Alpha. He is the Omega. He is the eternal, everlasting God. He is the great Ancient of Days, that when he says go, it goes. When he says stop, it stops. When he says this far and no farther, everything must bow and yield to the great name of God. Therefore, he says, for those of you who fear me, who honor me, who revere me, the sun of righteousness will rise above you. And because the sun of righteousness is rising above you, that its rays are going to come down and touch you. And there will be no place that you can hide from his sun, because he will find you wherever you are, because the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth, looking to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. He says he will find you, and when he finds you, his rays of righteousness will touch you with healing in them, and they will give you the strength that you need, and they will restore you where you have been broken, and they will pick you up where you have been beat down. And he says that he will meet you in your hour of need, and out of his fountain, out of his wealth, out of his riches, he will give you all that you need. For those who fear him, who walk in righteousness, there is nothing in your life that you should lack, because God has declared to you and me, if you just reach up and grab, or if you just reach out and grab, or if you just stand and receive, that he will meet you and provide for you things that you have not even asked for. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you think you got to ask for everything? No, he says you ain't got to ask for everything. All you got to do is come before him, and he says he's going to give you all that you need, because you have made Jesus your righteousness, and because you stand complete in him, he says that you then will be able to make withdrawals from the kingdom of righteousness, because you are a citizen in good standing. That's good enough for me. Amen. Good enough for me. Will you bow your heads with me? Father, we thank you that our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ provides us with more than just the forgiveness of our sins. That it does more than reserve a place in heaven for us. But putting our hope and our trust in Jesus Christ provides us with the benefits and privileges of being in a covenant relationship with you. We thank you that accepting the redemptive work of Jesus provides us with the benefits of your kingdom. We thank you that based upon his finished work, there is nothing that we stand in the need of. We accept the responsibilities of your covenant. We will continue to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. We will love you, God, with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. We will be careful to love our neighbors as we do ourselves. We will be careful to walk in a manner that is worthy of your calling of us. And we will present ourselves to you as living sacrifices that are holy and that are acceptable. We will take off the old self. We will be renewed in the attitude of our minds. And we will put on the new self, the one that God, you created in your likeness for righteousness, for purity, and for truth. We thank you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you that he is a strong tower that the righteous run to and are saved. Thank you for Jesus, who encamps around those who love you and who fear your great name. Thank you for Jesus, our Redeemer, the very lover of our souls. And as your eyes search, look at us, determine, God, what it is that we need. We stand right now with hearts that are ready to receive. We may be strengthened to carry out, God, your will. In Jesus' name, the people of God said, amen. We prepare.